Jesus, you see us gathered here today in your name, dear Jesus. We pray, Father, that you just pour your Holy Spirit out among us, dear Jesus. We ask, dear Jesus, that you just bless Brother Joe today, dear Jesus, and just have him speak to us in a mighty way, dear Jesus. Just come down in a mighty way today, dear Jesus, and show yourself among us, dear Jesus. We are gathered in your name. We ask for the other service of the children, dear Jesus, that you just bless them, dear Jesus, and just pour your Spirit out, dear Jesus, among them. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for the service this morning, dear Jesus, and how you pour your Spirit out, dear Jesus. We just ask that you come among us once again. In Jesus' name, amen.
In him crucified, now alive, and the power in me is you. Now I'm blameless, you call me holy, I've been forgiven, you call me righteous, I'm free. Take this from me. I'm a child that you name free. Nothing will separate us. I'm held by you. How blameless. You call me holy. I've been forgiven. You call me righteous. I'm free. Now I'm spotless.
This evening. So Lord, create in me a clean heart. A heart that's not filled up with trash and the things of the world, but a heart that's emptied out, ready to receive from the Spirit of Christ. A heart that's here to say, Lord, I need more of you tonight. I'm asking that you'll speak to me in a personal way tonight. If that be your desire, I want you to just slip your hand up. God sees that hand. You say, they asked Brother Branham one time, Brother Branham, what does it mean when I slip my hand up? He says, you slip it up and see what God does. You believe, you lift it in faith, God will come down and minister to that need. So let's just go to him in prayer before we go to the word tonight. Father, Lord, the songs of Zion has been sung tonight, and what a great feeling it is to be here, Lord. Not just here in this church, in this sanctuary, Lord, but to be here tonight with other believers in your presence, oh God. And we come tonight, Lord, to settle our spirits down and enter into a service just for young people tonight. And we ask you to give us ears that can hear, a heart that can receive the word of God, and lips that would speak under the anointing. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you. And Lord, like David of old, he said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, a heart that can worship you, Lord God, a heart that will not be condemned for wrongs, oh God, from iniquities, but a heart that can lift its hands and say, I need you more today, Father, than I had yesterday. Lord, my hands are raised this evening, God. I have need of you tonight, Father. Myself crying out to you, God, create in me a clean heart. A heart that'll worship, a heart that'll praise God, a heart that can receive the word of God, a heart that will stay true to this message, oh God. Create in each and every one of us here tonight that kind of heart tonight, Father. Speak expressly to us, Lord, we pray. Lord, I ask you to bless each of these young people that are here playing an instrument. Our brother Brandon, Lord, as he would lead us in song. Father, we thank you for what you're doing right here. In the young people of Leading the Light Tabernacle, Lord, the gifts that you have placed right here in this local body. Lord, right here in rural America, Father, Louisiana, you've blessed this church with so many blessings. Lord, as I just slipped over into the children's church and young 10-year-old Josiah Boer leading the song service, Lord, just seeing the gifts that are even coming up right there, even in our younger young people, Father. What a blessed church we are. What a blessed people we are. What a blessed bride that you have, Father. And we're so thankful today, God, that we can yield ourselves to you. We can give ourselves, our soul, body, mind, and spirits to you tonight. And we ask, oh God, you'll take full control now. I pray you'll take control of this service now, Father, from the reading of the scripture to the closing of the service. May you receive the honor and the glory, and may your people be praised. We just give this time to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to pick back up on our series that we have been doing on Prepare to Battle. So this will be Prepare to Battle Part 5. But I want to give it a subtitle, if we can call it, God Calls You to a Position. And I don't know if you picked up on anything this morning, but Brother Tim was laying that right down in line about we each have a position in the body. So tonight we just want to look back over these things and, just kind of stir your memory, stir your remembrance, and trust that God will say something that will speak expressly to us. Psalms 18 and verse 31. And say amen when you get there. Put a smile on your face until you get there. Amen when you get there. We have some slow page turners, aren't we, tonight? Psalms 18 and verse 31 says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. That word perfect there means complete, unimpaired, sound, and whole. It is God that maketh my way complete. Unimpaired, sound, and whole. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon high places, or upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. You can be seated this evening. I got a couple other passages of scripture I'd like to read, but we kind of come back here in Psalms 18 and verse 33. The scripture says that he teacheth, or he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me. Notice that word setteth there. It means to be put in a place. Otherwise, being positioned in a place. He setteth me upon my high places. God positions every believer upon their high places. We find here in Psalm 75 and verse 7, the scripture reads like this. It says, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another." So it's God's doing. He putteth down one and he sets up another, or he places another, or he positions another in its place. Psalms 18 and verse 43. "For thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen." Somebody can say amen tonight. What about it, Brother Jaron? What has God done for you? God had made me the head of the heathen. No longer does the heathen rule over me. No longer does the devil rule over me. But God made me the head of the heathen. Of people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me. Now, we've been speaking on battle. We've been speaking on prepare to battle. One thing we got to recognize, it is God that does the avenging. It's not you that get in your flesh and say, "I'm going to handle this. I'm going to do this my own way." But it's God that avenges me, and he subdueth the people under me. It's God's work that he's doing in the body of his bride. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me, and thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto his name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and he showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. How many of you are the seed of Abraham, which is the seed of David tonight? This is a promise that we have. He avengeth you of your adversaries. If it's all right, I'm going to take my coat off. We're just young people here tonight. They got a great service going over there. Brother Craig's ministering to the young people, and Brother Little Josiah's leading in song, and the kids are all excited. And you know, if they can be that excited about their service, shouldn't we be excited about our service? We find here that we all tonight, how many of you are here tonight? We got a few of you here. The rest of you, you'll get here, hopefully. But each of you here tonight have been called to a position. You have been called to a place. You can't just come to church and plop down and just occupy space. God has called you for a purpose. God has called you to a position. And we'll speak on it in future service. God had called you for this time, not sometime in the future. God's called you for this day. And somebody is going to be the word made manifest in this here day. And we find here that we have a position in the body. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know this scripture. It's very familiar. Let me start my watch. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just starting. And we know, how many knows, that all things work together for the good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. How many of you are called tonight? Come on, this is interactive service. I have to go like Brother Craig. He's really bringing it down real. I mean, he's got them back and forth, back and forth. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and to whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's a key word in this entire scripture. I'm going to look at it here for a minute in the Amplified. It says, "We are assured and we know that God, being a partner in our labors, all things work together and are fitting into the plan of God." Everything that you go through, young person, is fitting perfectly in the plan of God. Nothing happens to you, nothing happens to your life, nothing happens to your family that God is not already aware of. God has already seen you. He's seen the choices that you would make. And because of those choices, God can predestinate you to your perfect will and to the will that he would have for you in this life. And we find there it says, "For whom he foreknew." Otherwise, that he was already aware of and that he loved beforehand.
Notice God loved you when you was unlovable. And somebody better say amen. When you was out there, a rank, dirty, filthy sinner. Some of you say, well, Brother Joe, I've only been to church. I've never been out of the world. You were still a rank, dirty, filthy sinner. You still needed God. You still needed saving. You still needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You still needed having experience with Almighty God. So what does that make you? A dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking sinner. But the grace of God, hallelujah. The mercies of God. He loved you when you wasn't even lovable. You better thank God you got a mama. She's the only one that loved you. But God loved you before your mama did. He also destined from the beginning, or foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son. And we share an inward likeness to himself, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Notice now. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. This is a key scripture. To those he foreordained or had pre-knowledge, he knew you before the foundation of the world. He also, those that he had foreordained, he called. Right. Oh, I'm hoping I'm speaking to a called people tonight. Somebody, Brother Jaron, has heard the call. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the world, my people. And be not yoked up with their unbelief. To those that he called, those that he foreordained, he also called. And to whom he called, he justified. That word means he acquitted. Brother Jaron, all the things that you've done, it's acquitted. It has no hold on you. God himself doesn't even remember. I said, God himself doesn't even remember anything that you've done. It's acquitted. You stand right now justified, though you never done it in the first place, because in the first place, you was in the mind of God. You never committed that act in the mind of God, but you bypassed your theophany body, and you came in a fallen condition, and because of that condition, you done this act and that act, but in the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, you was in the mind and the thoughts of God, and the thoughts of God, they are eternal, are they not? You've never done that in the beginning. You always was a son and daughter of God. Amen. Otherwise, he says, whom he justified, acquitted, made righteous, positioning them into the standing with himself. He places the believer in a position or a standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorifies. Raising them to a heavenly dignity. No longer are you the scum of the earth, but God raised you up into a heavenly dignity, to a position that only a special people can hold. Oh, I hope you're seeing something. We look here in Ephesians. This is all right tonight. Amen. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now we look here in verse 3. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where? Where? In heavenly places. How many of you know what heavenly places is? Not the old people. I got just the young people meeting. What is heavenly places? High places. It is a high place. The prophet of God says, how many of us want, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll just tell you what it means. The prophet of God said, heavenly places is the believers. How many of you are a believer tonight? Amen. I want to see every hand raised. How many of you are a believer? Don't be ashamed to be a believer. Right. Heavenly places is a believer's position in Christ. Right. It's your placing in the body. And he says, we have already been blessed in heavenly places. But the devil comes against you and he attacks your mind. He says, well, you done this and you did that. There ain't no use. You might as well quit. You might as well get up. But I want you to know right now, my young brother and my sister, God already had pre-positioned you and predetermined your destiny. And he's already set you tonight in heavenly places. That's your position in the body. That's your position in the church. That's your position in Christ tonight. It ain't down here in the Mully Grove, but it's in heavenly places. It's in high places, Brother Jaron. High places, heavenly places. Brother Bram says in the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Heavenly places, just for a moment, is the believer's position in Christ. Where the believer stands in Christ. Now, how many of you are a believer? Then get out of your mully grubs. Get out of your wowsy, wowsy woos. Because I don't think there's going to be any mourning over there in that land. I don't think there's going to be no sadness in that land. I don't think there's going to be any heartache in that land. No, it's where the believer stands in Christ. Heavenly places. Now the scripture says, according as he had chosen. Notice, he chose us. When? Oh, y'all are quiet. No. We're going to have to wake this thing up. He chose us when? There it is. Before the, how many knows when that was? A long time ago. Before, you know what that means? Before there was a foundation. The world was out form and void. Before even that, God saw you. God already preordained you. God already knew that you would be in this age. Your coming wasn't a shock to God. It may be a shock to the devil. Thank God that it is. But it's not a shock to God. God chose you for this hour. Amen. God's got a purpose for you young people. It's more than just come to church. It's more than just have long hair. It's more than just dressing right. It's more than just living a godly life. God has placed you here for a specific purpose in this hour. Somebody, God's going to have a young person that's going to overcome every temptation. God's going to have a young lady that's going to give herself to God. She's not going to mar herself in her testimony and snip off her hair or paint her face up or dress down in ungodly fashion. She's going to live according to the word of God. God's going to have a somebody that's going to live out. And it's going to rain out true in this hour. Because why? Because she has been positioned in the body. So when did he choose us? Before the foundation of the world. When his great hidden mystery, his great secret. Notice it was a secret. God had you in his mind. You're the very secret of God. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. Come on, somebody. You done made mistakes this week. That doesn't matter. He called you to be holy. Called you to be blameless. They can't put a mark on your life. The devil tries to smear you with this and smudge your life over this. But I want you to know, it can't go against the word. The word has already declared who you shall be and what you shall be. You have been called to be a holy nation. Amen. Hope this is all right tonight. See, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Having what? Predestinated us unto the adoption. The word adoption there means the placing or the positioning of a son. Oh yeah, God is placing his sons and God is placing his daughters. You're not here by happenstance. You wasn't just born into that family by some mistake. No, God knew that gene, and he saw that gene, and he knew that gene would have to come through that body, and it's going to come through that body, and it come over from overseas. But finally, God brought it all the way down, this gene, that, until it came to this gene right here. God knew of your coming, and God preordained your coming, and God is here today to let you know that it's all God's plan, and it's all working into the will of God. God predetermined your destiny. He's already predestinated us unto the placing. The devil says, you know what? I'm going to mar his life. I'm going to take him out into drugs. I'm going to take him out into fashion. I'm going to take him out into some nasty living and do there and just scar him up and mar him up. But God's already staked a claim on every young person here. Let me say it like this. God has already staked a claim on every young person that's not here tonight. God's already somebody stake the claim on you. The devil says, I've got them. God says, no, you don't. I've already predetermined. I've already preordained them. I've already called them in this hour. And those that I call, I'll justify. And those that I'll justify, I've already glorified. I've already placed them in the body of Christ. Already positioned them there. He says, predestinated, there's the mystery. Notice, he, before Christ, and Christ was the corporal body, he before Christ, or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery, that he chose the bride. Yeah. I want you young people, a lot of you struggle with knowing who you are. Can I get a witness tonight? That devil is constantly coming against your mind. Oh, you're claiming to be this. He said, you know, you're not. He's claiming, you claim to be this. He said, no, you're not. But the prophet of God says, he, before Christ or anything else was ever on earth, you see his great mystery, that he chose the bride. Not a bride, the bride. A specific person. A specific lady. In a specific hour. In a specific age. God chose her. Oh, I hope you hear what I'm telling you tonight. I hope you're picking up what I'm putting down. God chose you to be a part of this special calling, this special election. Not everybody can be this bride. Not everybody can be placed into this. But only an elect lady is going to be placed into that position. And I'm speaking to young people tonight. Something that's already overcame the world. Something that's already overcame lust and pornography and dirty living and genetical or whatever the word is. Generational traits that try to get passed down, they've already overcome it. Why? Because God has already saw you and placed you into a special calling. See, knowing that he knew that Eve would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall. Now, how many of you worried about falling? You've been worried about mistaking. You've been worried about, I ain't got the Holy Ghost. You've been worried about, I don't think I can make it. I'm here to tell you right now the words. He already chose you. He knew he would fall, but he chose a bride that wouldn't fall. Amen. He chose you because he knows there's something on the inside of you that won't let you fall. There's a seed on the inside. And let me tell you, the Bible says that you cannot sin because the seed of God remains. See, knowing that he would fall from disbelieving the word, knowing that she would fall, but he would choose a bride that would not fall, that would hold true to the word, regardless what all the rest of the world had to say about it. They would hold true to that word. They are predestinated to stand. Amen. Come on, young person. You've been predestinated to stand. When so many of your peers are no longer standing, we hear about this one. They done left a message in this one. They done left a message and this one's left a message. But yet there's a special people that's been predestinated to stand. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ. A predestinated the church to this great glorious stand. So each of you here today, you've been predestinated to a position. The life that you live now has been predetermined by Almighty God. You're here. You couldn't be, Brother Jared, in another age. Y'all believe that? Well, I want to live in Wesley's day. Forget that. They rode horses. I like my Dodge. It was hot and rainy. They didn't have no cover. They was on the back of a horse. Well, I want to live in Luther's day. I want to live in this day. Let me tell you, you could have never lived in any other day because God predetermined you for this age. He predetermined you for a specific message. You say, why did God choose me, Brother Joe, for this age? Because God was looking around, and he looked out there, and he said, I want the strongest that there ever will be. I want the bravest warrior that there ever will be. I want the mightiest one that ever come out of every other age. And he says, I'm going to place them in the Laodicean age. They're going to come out of a complete, total darkness. But I'm going to have a bride. I'm going to have an elect lady. I'm going to have somebody that will stand for righteousness. And therefore, God predetermined you for this age. He chose the best for the worst. And you're here today. I said he chose the best for the worst. And you're here today. He chose the strongest. and he chose the bravest, and he chose the mightiest of warriors, and he placed them right here. Not here at Even Light Tabernacle. I believe we got a good group of those warriors right here tonight. But he placed them in this hour, in this age. And the prophet of God says, it's not something that you stumbled into or something that might have had or yet you married it somewhere. But it's God. It's what God did for you in himself. So we think, oh, well, I got saved. No, you didn't get saved. God called you. And you recognized that you needed to be saved. Therefore, you called upon the name of the Lord, and he saved you. So one of the most important things, young people, how many of you young people tonight? Is this okay? Be like Brother Craig, you love the Lord? One of the most important things that you can ever have an understanding of when you prepare to battle is you must know your position.
That's right.
You take some of the strongest military men, if they didn't recognize their position and their calling, you'll take a little private, and he's going to try to be a great big general, but he hasn't been trained to be a general. Because why? That's not his position. So when they would go out to battle, he would completely lose all forces. Because why? Because he was usurping himself over the life or over the control or the position of a general, and all the men's lives would be at stake. So the number one thing that we can focus on and we need to have recognition of tonight in this hour is to recognize what God has called me for. God has not called me to be a doormat. God has not called me to be some worldly piece of trash. God has not called me for this or for that. But God has called me to be a son and a daughter of God. And when you recognize that you are a son and you recognize that you are a daughter of God, there ain't one devil of hell can stand before you. You'll quit living below your God-given privileges. You'll quit catering to the enemy because you recognize, I am a son. I am a son. I got rights to my father. I got access to my father. I can come before him right now, and I'll know that he'll withhold no good thing from me. So no matter who you are, no matter what you do, you have a responsibility. You have a position. You say, well, Brother Joe, I never preach. But you have a position anyway. You may never sing a special. And some of y'all may never want me to either. But you still have a position. You may never be seen by the masses on the internet. But I want you to know, young people, you impact lives. Because you have a position. There's a man that I told you the other day that I work with. Came by my office again. And he's still just astounded at the people of our church. And he's astounded at the young people. How do you get them to respond? We preach them the word. Amen. And the word responds to the word.
Oh, yeah.
I said the word responds to the word. Oh, he's in awe because he realizes they don't have that in their church. They got to have some basketball game. They got to have some of this, some kind of social affair, some kind of get-together to get the young people together. And then it ain't about the word. It's about a socialized event. But I'm here to tell you, when you preach the word to the word responds back to the word. And the word then assumes its position in the body. But Satan is going to fight you every step of the way. Satan doesn't want you to recognize your position in Christ. Therefore, we heard the scripture or the quote in the church age book. Satan knows that if you ever recognize your position in the body, that what you are and what you stand for, and that you will be an invincible army, and that he will be powerless. He knows that about you. But we don't know our own position. Some of us don't know our own placing. Constant mind battles. Constant this. I know, hey, mind battles are there. Well, you know, I like what a preacher said one time. He goes, you can't stop the crows or the birds from flying over, but you can stop them from roosting. You need to take out your Acts 2:38, and you need to start blasting devils. But many times we sit there, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. I got this attack, and I got that, and I just want a revival, and I want this. And you're living way below your God-given privileges. Then you hear what the word said this morning. All that you got to do, young person, is speak the word, take the name of Jesus, put it on your lips, and begin to let it flow from your lips tonight, and you'll see the devils will move, mountains will move, and demons will be destroyed. Why? Because they have to recognize you as a son and daughter of God. There's going to be somebody in this age that God's calling. Somebody that God's called, that God's positioning them to a place where they will not be defeated. You know, I've been defeated one too many times. The worst thing I like or hate is I don't like to be defeated. How many of you like playing a sport and coming in second place? Nobody. Well, we ain't playing games. Well, some of you are coming in second place. Some of you are where you're not need to, or are not where you need to be. In God's calling, service after service after service after service, so letting you know I'm ready to position you. I want to position you in my body. If you'll just recognize, if you'll just die out to self. The key to battle is dying out and being able to take orders from a general. And he's given orders service after service after service after service. Somebody that has surrendered their all. He's looking for somebody that's just surrendered their all. They surrender not to the enemy, but they surrender to God, and they surrender their will to do the will of the Father. Somebody that he's ready to put in position. Someone in a position to counter every attack of the enemy. Romans 9 and verse 19 says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one a vessel of honor and another unto dishonor." So we see it's God's choosing. I remember many years ago, and Brother Aaron just stepped out, but many years ago before when I first actually started coming to church here, and I remember reading this scripture. I was really new to the message. I had no tack. Brother Aaron wanted to meet with me, and we was in Brother Tim's house, and he was out on the front porch, and he's just talking to me, you know, because I guess he's just coming in, you know, even though he grew up in the Message church or Message home. And I remember I was a little Baptist boy. I come out of the world, and I remember this scripture. He says, you know, he begins to talk to him. I said, well, you know, the Bible says God makes one for honor and dishonor. You may be the one of dishonor. He reminded me later, goes, man, that was pretty tough. I didn't know Aaron really at the time for nothing. But that really wasn't real tactful, was it? But we find, see, it's God's choosing who he wants to make a vessel of honor. It's God's choosing, and it's not anything that we have to do with it. You can't make yourself what you're not. See, he positions us in what he already had us in his thoughts. And we're going to be that, and we're not going to be anything else. You know, I wanted to be tall, dark, and handsome. I failed on 3 attempts. Short, stumpy, and ugly. Now I'm losing my hair, so strike 4, I'm out. But we find, we think it in our mind, we look at somebody else's life and we just want to be that person, or we want to be in this position and we want to be in this kind of power and this kind of thing here. But let me tell you, you can't put yourself there. If you put yourself there, you're going to fail miserably every time. You should cry, God, what I want is I want you to put me in a position, in the place, in the body that you can use me, that I can be a honor, not a vessel of dishonor, that my life can bring honor to your word, and that my ministry or my gift can bring honor to the local assembly. Lord, position me where you want me. The word position there means a place where someone or something is located or has been put. Each of us in this room this evening. Now again, how many is in this room? Raise your hand, Sister Heather. It's all right. Everybody's in this room this evening. You have a position. You have a position. The devil don't want you to recognize who it is, but we've all been predestinated, and we all have a predestinated role in the body of Christ. Some of you will never stand behind this desk, but you still have a position and a place. Some of you will never tickle these ivories, but you still have a position and a place. Some of you will never pick the strings on a guitar or the bass or play the drums. Some of you may never be a deacon. You may never stand back there where Brother David is and be an usher. But nevertheless, we need you to assume your position. As we heard this morning, because they without us, There's a people on the other side waiting for a young people to get in their position. And when they recognize their position, this rapture's going to go, somebody. This rapture's ready to take place, but it's going to take each and every one of us getting in our God-given positions to say, Lord, I'm ready to fight now. Let the battle drum roll. I'm ready to go for it. I'm no longer a coward. I'm no longer a sissy. I'm no longer this or that. I'm a son of God. I'm ready for the battle. I'm ready to go forth in your name. Notice here in the message, Perfect Faith, Brother Branham referring to Jesus Christ, he says he relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. And he had faith in God who made him the Word. He was the Word, or he was God the Word. And they was in him. And that give him faith because he understood his position. He knowed what he was because the scripture had said he was this. But the problem is we struggle. We can see Brother Tim's place, Brother Timothy's place, this one's place, that one's place. But when it comes to us, we fail to recognize our place. You can open the Word as our pastor did this morning, and he's placing you in the scriptures. Showing you service after service, there's going to be somebody's voice that's going to raise the dead. Come on, young person. Quit waiting for another day. This ain't some carrot on the string. You are that person. You are that people that God is calling today, and he's ready to position you in the body of Christ. Not just to place you there so you can be looked at. No, but you're placed there, and you're placed in a position of power, and you're placed in a position of authority. So when that dirty devil comes to you, you've got power over him, and you've got the authority to use the Word of God over that devil, and nothing by any means can come against you and harm you. Amen. When you recognize your position in the body. Brother Brown makes a statement here in the message influence. I've been listening to this message this week. He says, God orders his man to his place. Man cannot order yourself to a place. God must order your place. Don't forget that. God orders you to your place. And he must not never try to take another one's place. Don't try to be something that you're not. Don't try to be something that you're not. You say, well, Brother Joe, then how do I know my position in the body? How many wants to know this answer? Man, y'all ain't very intro. I got a couple back in the back, boy. Gray hair and everything. He's got his hand up. He wants to know. Come on, young person. This is your service. We want to know what God has for young people today. God, what do you have special for me today? He says, now, this is in the message, question and answers, 1961. How does one know their rightful position in the body of Christ? He goes, your position is in Christ, is revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. And then if you want to know whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, find out whether he blesses what you're doing or not. If he blesses it, then that's him. If he doesn't bless it, well, then you know the other answer. So you can find your position in the body of Christ by finding what you're supposed to do. And you don't find it what you're supposed to do by playing tour duty or some video game, or you're looking at dirty pictures on the internet or on your telephone, or you're constantly doing things that you shouldn't be doing. No, but you find the will of God by getting in front of God himself and crying out, God, show me, direct me. You said that you would guide the footsteps of the righteous. You said that your word would be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, I need you to light my path because I'm not sure what direction I need to take. And I don't want to put myself out of position that I can't hear the voice of God. I can't hear the movement of God. I can't feel the nudging of God. I want to be God at all times where I can receive and hear the Spirit of Christ move. And when you fully understand your position in the body of Christ, then you will refuse to be taken advantage of. I said you will refuse to be taken advantage of. How many likes to get slapped around? Nobody, huh? I mean, it happens all the time. You walk, you come into church. Devil said that I was a liar. Devil said this, and devil said that. And devil. Well, why are you getting slapped around? Because you don't know who you are. He said, Brother Joe, this is a very simple message. It is very simple. But when you ever catch who you are, it's the deepest revelation you'll get. Because then you'll stand up and say, come on, boy. You won't hit me again. You know, when I was out in the world, I told y'all before, I was a lover and a fighter. I loved to fight. And boy, hit me, it was on. Hey, we didn't play games. I didn't believe in playing games. I quit recess because they had games. I said, no, sir, kindergarten is out for me. I'm going on to first grade. I ain't play too much here. But no, I remember sometimes getting in a scuffle. Boy, he slapped me by accident. That temper flared up. It was on. Come on. I mean, I felt like I was Muhammad Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You better watch out. It's going to be Joe Adams all over you. But, you know, sometimes you need to get that mad with the devil. Yeah. He comes in, pop, pop. But if you know who you are, you know who you've been called by, you know that God has placed you in this hour, and God put you here for a purpose. And when that devil comes up to you and he tries to slap you, you stand back. Come on, old boy. Bam, bam, bam. Whoa. I mean, it's on like that. Because why? Because you recognize I'm a son of God. I don't have to take the devil's blood. I don't have to take his life. I don't have to take his fear. I don't have to take his depression. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. I know who I've been called by. There ain't no fear can come in a believer when you know who you are. When you know who you are, you can be the baddest man on campus. Ain't nobody going to pick on the baddest man on campus. Are they? Well, be the baddest man on campus. Come on, young person. It's time that you become the baddest man on campus. So when that devil wakes up, he's scared. Oh, here they come. And the devil start walking away because here they come. Little Joseph Adam woke up. He's the baddest man on campus. Some of you don't know who you are. I'm trying to get you so you can see who you are tonight. That's one thing I realized early on in my Christian walk hearing this message. One of the greatest revelations God gave me is I can see who I am. Now, I've had a lot of struggles in my life. We all have. But there's one thing about it. The devil has never taken this reality and this revelation away from me. I know who I am. And I know whose I am. And I know where he's placed me. And I know why he's placed me here. And because I know that, I got the assurance that I can walk out into every battle and I'll not whimper. I'll not cater. I'll not give up. I'll not give in. Because while I didn't call myself, God called me for this. And God is calling young people. God is calling young women and young boys to come out and let me position you. Let me place you in a position of power. Of authority. To when the devil comes against you, you make him run. So you'll stop living below your God-given privileges. You'll stand up to the devil and say, no, buddy, not today. If you hit me like that again, it's going to be on. Like white on rice. Today, I ain't taking your bluff. I'm going to be the stuff that knocks your bluff right off of the uff. Whatever uff is. I know. Y'all didn't know I was a poet. I didn't either, obviously. Quit taking the devil's bluff. He ain't nothing but a liar. You know what? This is one of the greatest huge groups I've ever been a part of. I've ever had the witness of seeing. And yet I watch your lives. I see some of you come in and you're beat down. Some of you come in and you done gave up. Some of you come in and you done have been in a great big battle. But you should recognize, if I can only get you to see who you are tonight, you'll come in service after service. You won't wait for the music to start drumming and the piano start playing and the organ start going. Rah, 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 rah. No, no, no. You'll be ready to enter into the worship of God. You'll throw your hands up and you'll begin to create an atmosphere. Yes, oh, why? Because because I know who I am. My God saved me. My God is real. I come to worship my God. I come to give my God praise. He's done so much for me. He took me out of a life of sin, and he set my feet on a solid rock. You should have to be pumped up and primed up. You should come already pumped and primed and ready for service. Hold on a second. This thing is irritating the fool out of me. We had it fixed one time, and they let Big Head Timothy borrow it. And I got a little bitty old shrimp head. You know, he got all that matter up there to hold that great big brain of his. I got this little elephant brain. We ain't hold much up here. So we doing good with what we got. That's right. You got that right. See, but when you recognize who you are, there'll be no shadow of doubt. Says, I wonder if this word's going to work for me. No, there'll be no shakiness. When fear comes in, you'll recognize, oh, what am I going to be fearful about? If God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, devil. You want to fight with fear? I got something to give you fear back. I am a son of God, and fear had torment. But the word already declared that I can put my foot on the neck of every demon power, and it has to obey the voice of a man. Just the way the son obeyed the voice of a man, so does your enemy, so does that tormenting spirit, has to obey the voice of another son and daughter of God. But you got to know that you're in position to speak. See, the prophet of God says, now he relied on what God had made him. If he did that, then can't we rely on what God has made us as believers? I said, that's a question. And when somebody asks you a question, you give a response. Can't we rely on what God had made us? He made you a believer. You can't do nothing else, brother, sister, but believe the word of God. The devil comes with his attack, and he comes with his doubt, and he comes with his fear, and he comes with his depression, and he comes with his anxiety, and he comes with all these other things. But we know that the Bible says that we can pull down strongholds. You got to give me another mic. Oh, this thing, I can't even cut this thing on. Y'all stay with us. Technical difficulties.
Call it small ear syndrome. I feel like Brother Tim did this morning.
Well, look how handsome Brother Tim Winters is walking across this stage. Boy, isn't he a handsome fella. He's taken, ladies. He's been taken for a long time, too. He's like, I'll get you back, Brother Joe. I'm going to get you back, you little sawed-off short thing. See, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he relied on what God had made him, a little bit more volume, then can't we rely today on what God has made us? We're no longer a beat down, trodden down, little nobody. No, you're a son today. You're a daughter today. You always was a son. You always was a daughter. You never belonged to the devil. You've always belonged to God. And can't we believe today what the word has said about us? Brother Jaron, you didn't always belong in the world. You always belonged to God. Can't we believe that today? Can't we assume our position today to know God has called me for this hour? He said, if you abide in me and my word in you, then you can ask what you will. Then you recognize your position in the scripture as a believer. And when you recognize your position in the scripture as a believer, then you can speak the word of God. Then you recognize your position. See, you got to recognize your position as he recognized his position. Notice he was a man out there on the boat when the demons of the sea swore they was going to sink that boat. And it's going up and going down, up and it's going down, up and it's going down. He was a man. What's that? We're going to try this again. All right. Tall, dark, and handsome. Amen. We back on, Brother Joseph. All right, we're back on. Give me a little bit more power up here. I need a lot more power. I need to feel the power. This is a youth meeting. You can't do this in big church. You're the last one, Brother Joe. It'll be another year before you step out. No, this is young people's service. We can be human today. Not that we're not human. I mean, we're not an android or nothing. Some alien or something. Lord have mercy, I don't know where I'm going. It's all right. All right. See, he was a man out there on the boat that night, tired from preaching. They were pulling the strength out of him, service after service. He was tired and weary, laying back there on the sleep. He was tired, but yeah, when his disciples came, Master, do you care not that we perish? And he rose and he said, oh, who are you, slow of heart? Help me, here I am, I'm the Son of God. Don't you realize that you got me with you? And I'm going to tell you, young person, it ain't just Tim Pruitt that's with you today. You got Jesus Christ himself here today. He's in your boat. All you got to do is wake Jesus up. It's time that we wake Jesus up and say, Master, do you care that we don't perish? He came up, woke himself up, went out and put his foot on the brow of the boat, and he began to speak, peace, be still. Oh, he was a man tired and weary, but he was a son of man when the winds and the waves obeyed the voice of a man. Say, Brother Joe, what does that got to do with me? Because I'm here to tell you, there's waves that's trying to capsize your experience today. Oh, you get tired and you get weary and you get this and you get that. But when you recognize your position, who you are, you can put your foot on the word of God and command that thing to cease in the name of Jesus Christ. And it has to obey your voice. Said it has to obey your voice. He says now, notice what he says. Well, let me get there. When he was on earth, oh, I got to back up. This is great. This is a good quote. Y'all got a pen and paper? Write this down. If you don't, copy it from your neighbor. And what Christ was then, we have positionally the same powers today. And what Christ was then, open the blinded eyes, open the deaf of the hearing of the deaf, raise up the dead, put eyes in a man's sockets who had no eyes. Spoke the words of life. Spoke to the storm. Spoke to the seas. Raised from the grave. Oh, the grave said they'll hold him. The grave couldn't hold him because he wasn't been there. Hey, let me tell you, he's the Almighty God. He went down into hell and he kicked the devil in the face in hell and took the keys from the devil's kingdom. And he rose again on the third day. And he said, and we today are positionally, we had the same powers that he had then. Oh, do you see who you are, son and daughter of God? You've got the keys to the kingdom today. You've got the power today. But you don't know how to exercise your power. He says now, he looked like God. He acted like God. He preached like God. He healed like God. He saved like God. He defeated devils like God. And what he was then, we are today. We preach like God, Brother Timothy, Brother Aaron. We heal like God. We pray like God. We do the things like God. We save like God. We defeat devils like God. Why? Because we are God in bride form. I said, we are bride in God. We are Christ, or we are the Word in bride form today. You can't be something that you're not, but you are the bride of Jesus Christ, unveiled in this hour. Somebody can't see it. All they see is your mistakes, and they see your failure. But when you ever recognize who you are, you don't see failure. You don't see mistakes. You see Jesus Christ. We have positionally the same powers today that he had when he walked the shores of Galilee. All that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into the bride. Young person, he poured everything into you. He's no longer in human flesh of a man called Jesus Christ in a corporal body, but he's in human flesh right here before me today. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? Amen. And what form is he in today? If he's the same yesterday and we don't see him here today in that same body, then where is he at today? He's right here in bride form. You mean me? Yeah, he's in you, Jeremy. Jonathan. Joseph. Enoch. He's in you. Brother Aaron. Brother Tim. Brother Philip, Sister Sherry, he's in you. Now, somebody may question that, but it ain't for them to question, because we already have a faith that can believe the Word of God. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love the scripture or the quote that Brother Tim brought out this morning so much that I'm going to read it again tonight. He said, that same power that spoke to the world, spoke the world into existence, is in those people that's got the Holy Spirit. I said the same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people that's got the Holy Spirit. That's right, men and women, it's time that we found out who you are. The devil's trying to hide you back, tell you that you're some little old coward down something. You're not. You're sons and daughters of God. The deity is not in heaven. It's in you tonight. Oh, don't you realize who you are? Deity ain't in heaven. It's here, right here. At Evening Light Tabernacle, it's manifested in sons and daughters of God tonight. Can't you see your position? You've been positioned in power. You've been positioned in authority. You've been positioned to battle. And the message witness, he said, if you know positionally who you was and what you are tonight, there wouldn't be a feeble person left here in the next 5 minutes. And that's not only for physical healing. That's for anything you have need of. You won't be feeble-minded, fear and anxiety and depression and whatever it is. He says, that's right. The thing of it is, you're looking off in the millennium for something to happen. He says, when it's already here, quit looking up for another day. Oh, some of you are looking for our special October meetings. You can have it today. You don't have to wait till some Sunday service or your favorite preacher or some special meeting. You can have the word. You can have the power. You can have the authority right here in a youth service. You can be delivered. You can be saved. You can be healed. You can be set free right here tonight. The problem of it is we don't think God can use us. How many is, matter of fact, don't even raise your hand. No better yet, raise your hand. But you had that thought, God will never use me. How can God use me? Come on, raise them up high. Don't be afraid. Raise them up. I want y'all to look around. I'm gonna say, look around. That's when you turn your neck. Some of y'all are just disobedient. No wonder your parents have a hard time. Get y'all to look around the church. I gave you permission to turn around and look around. Look around. Everybody's hands are up. Because a lot of times we think, there ain't no way the devil's going to use me. Look at my life. Look what I've done. Look what I've been doing. And many times we look at our failures. How many's looked at your failures this past week? Oh, yeah. Oh, you look at your mistakes. Yeah. Brother Aaron and I got a little thing going. Every time he comes to my house, his dove begins to fly away from my, I don't know what it is about my house, but his nice little Holy Ghost dove begins, ooh. And we got a little saying, a little crow come down. Ca-ca! And I'm not blasting on Brother Aaron. I probably never should have said that, Brother Aaron. I'm sorry. That just came out. That was just dirty of me. I'm sorry. But sometimes we allow ourselves, we allow the human element to come out. And when we do, we find mistakes. And we find failures. And we find disappointments. And we say, how in the world can God use me? Look at me. I'm a big failure. I'm a big mistake. Let me just share some people that God has used. You know, and the devil would try to come in your mind. You know, he loves to just remind you of all your inefficiencies. Oh, there's no use for you to even try. How can God use you? Look at you. And then you start thinking, well, how can God use me? Did God even call me? Do I even have the Holy Ghost? There's no way. Can I go a little bit further? Matter of fact, can I go a lot further? Let me just share some people that God used. Y'all know God used Noah. We sure know that Noah was a drunk. God used Abraham. Abraham was an old man and he told lies. He used Jacob. Jacob was a shyster and a liar. He used Leah. And for some reason, she was ugly. I didn't make her ugly. She just was ugly. He used Moses. Moses couldn't talk, and he had a hot temper. That's to give some of you that's got a hot temper and you stumble some confidence that God can still use you. He used Gideon. He was a coward and was afraid. Yeah. Yeah. He used Samson. He was a womanizer and loved women. He used Isaiah. Let me tell you, he preached naked. That wouldn't happen in this church. We're going to draw the line somewhere. It ain't happening. Not here at Even Light Tabernacle. Put your clothes back on, Isaiah. Jonah ran from God. Swallowed by a whale. Rahab was a prostitute. That filthy prostitute. But God chose to use Rahab. God chose to use Jonah and this one and that one. And Rahab married an Israelite general by the name of Salmon. And by their union, they brought forth a son called Boaz. And Boaz married a Moabite, a Gentile. And at the time, they were dirty and filthy and undone and should have never came into the Israelite family. But yet, they two united together and had Obed. And Obed, he had Jesse. And Jesse brought forth David. And David was a murderer. And David was an adulterer. And yet God saw fit to come down through an imperfect people, to use an imperfect people, to position an imperfect people that his seed can come through. Now, can God use you today? Yes, God can use you. I'm saying God will use you today. So quit thinking that you're no good. Quit thinking that you're not going to ever be anything. You are something. You have been called. You have been positioned. You have been elected to be a part of a very elite group of people. I said a very elite group of people. Romans 8 now it says, to whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated. To conform you. All your mistakes, he's conforming. All your failures, he's conforming. All your past, he's conforming. Into what? The image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. So we find when God calls you, God's going to make sure he brings all the way to glorification. If God ever calls you, he's going to place you in a position of power. Because God don't call a man only to let him fall. God don't call a man to let him go back into the world. When God calls you, he's going to justify you, though you never did it in the first place. And when he justifies you, he's going to glorify you. He's already glorified you. The Bible says in Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation. Do you hear me, young person? Yeah. The devil's trying to put condemnation on you because you did this and you did that. But the Bible says that all that he called, he justified, though you never did it in the first place. And there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So those he justifies, he glorifies, or he places you in the presence of the Father. And Brother Brown makes a statement of Jehovah Jireh. He says, one of the greatest curses on the full gospel church is not positionally knowing what they are in Christ. Right. The greatest curse to a youth group is not knowing who you are in Christ. Right. The greatest curse to Even a Light Tabernacle is for you young people to not know your calling in life. Yep. You have been called. You have been called for a position. And you have been called for an hour. Now, I'm not done. It sounded like I was, though, didn't it? Like you was closing. No, that was a false alarm. Don't know where that came from, but we're going a little bit further. See, the devil, listen to what he says in Jairus' and divine healing. He said, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. That means the devil tried to scare you. Oh, yeah. It's all right. It's all right. He's trying to scare us. He's trying to put something off somewhere else and say, some of these days you'll be this. He's still telling me I'm going to be tall, dark, and handsome. He's just a liar. Right, yeah? You said that way too quick. Some of these days you're going to be this. You know, I told y'all a story when I preached on that message, God Wants a Hero. Me and my brother used to fly around like Batman and Robin and Superman, and we'd fly around and off the dressers and with a cape on. I thought I was going to really fly one day. I ain't left the ground yet. Probably because I was too fat as a kid to move. But he says, listen to what Brother Bram says. He says, you are now. I want y'all to listen. How many times the prophet of God says now? Y'all know what now means in the English dictionary? Tomorrow? Is that what it means? Kara, what does now mean?
Right now.
Right now. This very minute.
Right.
Right now, Brother Jaron. Listen to what the prophet of God, y'all count how many times he says this. You are now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and in the earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it in the millennium. We got it now. Right now we are, hallelujah. Right now we are sons of God. Right now, this very minute, this very second, right now we are the sons of God. Quit putting it off in the millennium. Quit putting it off for another service. Right now, you're a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
He says, right now, we are sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we will be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those that he called, he justifies. And on and on and on. So we didn't make ourselves son. God made us what we are. God placed us as a son. It's God's choosing. It's God's election. It's God's predestination. Everything that we are today is because of God's grace and mercy. And God predestinated us before the foundation of the world to the adoption, the placing of sons in Jesus Christ. And the prophet of God says, how are you going to stop? Oh, do you want me to read that again? Because the look on your face says, please read that one again. In the message, presuming God predestinated us before the foundation of the world to the adoption of sons in Jesus Christ, how are you going to stop it? Let me tell you, young person, ain't no devil going to stop that plan. Ain't no demon. Ain't no drug. Ain't no depression. Ain't no fear. Ain't no anxiety. Ain't nothing going to stop that. You have been called for a son of God. You have been called as a daughter of God. And ain't nothing going to stop it. No man can put you in and no man can take you out. No devil can stand before you because you got the power. He says, all the devils in hell might as well just quit fussing about it. I say, take that, devil. I know who I am. I'm a son of God. Let me go on. He says in the message, the great warrior David, you're not a Christian by your desire. You're a Christian by God's desire. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. So, Brother Jaron, you're coming to church this last month or two. It ain't because, well, you just had a bad life. You had a bad life. We all know that. But God called you.
Amen.
Brother Justin, you was out there in the world. He wasn't. Your sister came home that night, tapped you on the shoulder and said, would you please come to church? No, she sent up a prayer. And the prayer of faith went out and got a son of God and brought him to the house of God.
Amen.
God did the calling. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And everyone that's here today, you have been drawn by the drawing power of a merciful God today. He's a God rich in mercy. He's here to save. He's here to set free. He's here to break the yoke of darkness off of your life. He's here to fill with the Holy Ghost. He's here to give you revival that you never had before. I'm here to tell you today, God is here. The power is here. The anointing is here. I'm telling you, church, you are the sons and daughters of God. He right then, notice now, he's speaking about David. First thing was, he was elected, called. And then God, notice, then when God elected you, then he called you. And you heeded to his call. Then he poured the anointing oil on you, the Holy Ghost. Said when he poured the Holy Ghost upon David, he baptized him with the Holy Ghost in a symbol form. I hope you get that. That just came fresh. He poured the oil upon him, just went all over him. The whole horn full of oil, amen, not sparingly. And that's the way God pours the Holy Ghost on a man, not sparingly, just baptizes him into it, anointing him with the Spirit. He says, and he right then, when that anointing oil struck David, he was positionally placed as a king. Not as a king, but he was positionally placed as king. And he says, and you are placed positionally in Christ Jesus as kings and priests. The moment you receive the Holy Spirit. So quit thinking that you're a nobody. Well, Joe, you don't know my life. That's beside the point. Quit thinking that you never has been and never will be. You are tonight, by the grace of God, been called or elected, called, anointed, and placed. And when that anointing oil came on you, the Holy Spirit, it placed you as a son and daughter of God, as a king and priest. And he placed you as a king, not so fear can rule your life, not so lust can rule your life, not so passion can rule your life, not so depression can rule your life. But he placed you as a king that you'll rule that depression, and you'll rule that anxiety, and you'll rule over fear, and you'll rule over this, and you'll rule over that. And when heart trouble comes, when you get older, you get about my age, and every time you wake up, you get a new ailment, you'll rule over it because you recognize I am a son of God. I've been positionally placed as a king and as a priest. And as a king, I got a kingdom. I got a domain. And I'm going to act like a king. I'm going to construct myself like a king. I'm going to operate like a king. And I'm going to speak like a king. He made you a ruler. There's enough word right there. He made you a ruler. That should excite something in us. To go to the battlefield. That God had made me a warrior, a king, and I'm ready to fight. When you hear those boastful sounds of the enemy, David and Goliath out there, he heard the boastful sounds of Goliath. The prophet of God said his boast fell on the wrong ears. And I wonder about it. What about your ears, young person? What about all this boast? Satan's going to do this and Satan's going to do that. He ain't going to have nobody and they're just going to give up. This church is going to falter away and this is going to do this. Everybody's falling away from the bride. Everybody's falling away from the message. And, you know, the prophet got off and we got this bridge and we got this story and we got a rocket form this and we got all this bunch of hoopla out there. But somebody's going to stand true. Somebody's going to recognize they have been positioned and ain't no devil in hell and ain't no story, ain't no fictitious is or that can ever take it away from what God had anointed. We, brothers and sisters, we got an abstract title deed this morning. You got to recognize who you are. David was elected, called, anointed, and placed. And you, the prophet of God, says elected, called, anointed, and placed in the body of Jesus Christ. And as we're sons and daughters of God, we're ambassadors. Let me go just a little bit further and I'll begin to shut down. I'm already been right at an hour. As if you already don't know that. Some of you are going, good night. So you service Brother Joe. He says now, how many believe you're an ambassador? I know some of you are going, what does that mean? Okay, I'll tell you. I had to look it up. I did. I looked it up. I didn't really know. I thought I knew. But the word ambassador there, I know you have people, y'all got to love me because y'all put up with me. An ambassador is a ranking government representative stationed in a foreign capital. Well, Brother Joe, I don't think I'm an ambassador. Yeah, you are. You're a high-ranking government official stationed in the capital of Laodicea. A high ranking, already seated in heavenly places. You got a kingdom. You know where you come from. You a high ranking official. And you know what they say about a diplomat or an ambassador? He's got diplomatic immunity in the country that he's stationed in. Y'all know what diplomatic immunity means? Don't even lie. Diplomat means he's a diplomat. All right, I'm going to dumb it down for you. Immunity means that he is non-susceptible, or like immune you get, you're immune from a disease. You're not susceptible to that disease because you've taken an antibiotic. That's right. You got antibiotics. bodies. And I want you to know today, you're ambassadors of Christ. You come from glory, but you came down in this dark Laodicean age, but you got diplomatic immunity. Ain't no devil, ain't no disease, ain't no drugs, ain't no fear. Can't nothing stop the plan of God. You got diplomatic immunity. You got faith in God. You got rights of the Son. And ain't no demon power can stop you from becoming what God's called you to be. Oh, they want to afflict this disease, and they want to afflict that disease, but it can't stop a son of God. It can't stop a daughter of God. They know I can't be took. I'm down here in Laodicea, but I'm walking over every trouble. I'm walking tall. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Oh, you got diplomatic immunity. You can't be touched. Brother Bam says, all powers in heaven and earth is given into my hands. Go into all the world. And whatsoever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind it in heaven. You're my ambassador. What does an ambassador do? He speaks on behalf of the country he's from. I said he speaks on behalf of the country he's from. So if he sent you and I to be his ambassador, we speak on his behalf. And whatsoever you bind on earth, he says, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, he's going to loose it in heaven. Oh, brother, sister, don't you realize who you are? You got power in your tongue tonight to bind any devil. I said you got power to bind the serpent tonight. He goes, oh, the great holy church only realizes power to do these things. But there's so much doubt and fear and trembling, wondering if it'll happen, wondering if it could be this. As long as that exists, the church can never stand upright. But when every talk of fear is vanished and the Holy Spirit is completely in control of the church, then all the fears are gone and the church has power. Amen. Oh, listen, if the United States, this fair land sent me over to Russia, as an ambassador of the nation to Russia, then if they have officially sent me to Russia, all the power of the United States has is behind me. I said, all the power that the United States has is behind me. Let me tell you, if you've been called to be God's ambassador, all the power of heaven is behind you tonight. You can take the word of God and put it in your heart and put it on your lips, and it's the same as deity speaking. And let me tell you, my brother, all the power in heaven is behind that word. Because you speak as an ambassador, as an agent. You become God's messenger. So, Brother Joe, I wasn't called to be a preacher. You might be called to be a housewife, but you got a position. And Brother Brown makes a statement, he says, the ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. So quit looking down on yourself. I'm never going to be this. I'm never going to be that. The ministry of the bride and the ministry of Christ is the same. He says, now we've left the Pentecostal age. Now we're coming to where, like in the pyramid, not pyramid doctors now, but I mean like a pyramid. The headstone, as we saw this morning, the headstone, when it comes to fit, it's got to be home. There's got to be a ministry in the church, the true church of the living God, to where when the headstone comes down, Christ, or the ministry of Christ, and Christ will fit right together perfectly. Oh, don't you see who you are today? You're not just some bystander, but no, you've been honed by the word of God. You got a position in that pyramid. Hallelujah, young person. You got a place in the body of Christ. Quit living below your God-given privileges. The ministry of Christ will be in the church just exactly like him in the spirit. And when he comes to take the church to redeem the whole thing, then it goes up. Oh, hallelujah. Let me get to some closing places here. I got so much here, I'll tell you. Let's bring this down. How many ready for me to close? Boy, that was a trick question and nobody failed. The Bible says, now we are the sons of God. Brother Bam says, what we need tonight is somebody else who knows where they're at. What we need tonight is men and women who knows their position in Jesus Christ. And when the devil makes his boast,
they stand like David. I'll take the challenge. I'll take the challenge. I don't care if I'm a 14-year-old kid. I refuse to let this uncircumcised Philistine defy the armies of the living God and defy my God in doing it. He says, what we need tonight is somebody else. And I'm going to put it personal. He needs a young person that knows where they are. You quit drifting through life. It's a piece of driftwood hanging up on every piece of trash in the river. But you can be honed and be used and sculptured that you can navigate the troubled waters. Because God will put a little power on you, called a little motorboat. He put a little power on the back end, and you'll be able to drive through all the raging waters. See, church, we have been positioned in this hour, and we're seated right now in heavenly places. In Romans 8, Paul says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate you. Then why are you afraid? I am persuaded. Brother Joe, how can you be persuaded when you face adversity? Because I recognize I'm a son of God. Not what I did, it's what God did for me. See, I know my position. Brother Bram says, brother, we need Christians, not jellyfish. What we need is Christians with a backbone. I don't mean to fuss with the people, but stand for your God-given rights that Christ died for. Certainly not pushed around. We don't have to be that. No, sir, we got an inheritance. Satan says, well, I'm going to do this. It's time you speak up. Says, no, you're not. Your reign is over. I said your reign is over. Satan coming, some of you grandparents taking your grandchildren out of church. Take them out of fellowship. Taking some of your friends out of church. Taking you out of fellowship. Some of you afflicting you with health or sickness in your bodies. It's time that you stand and says, no, you're not. I'm a son of God. And I'm exercising my authority today. But you got to stand for your position. Let me bring this to a close right here. I want the musicians to make their way back. Start bringing this to a close. Several hundred years ago, in the northern part of our country, there was a great battle that was raging. They wanted to say it was over slavery. They wanted to say it was over this and over that, Emancipation Proclamation. You know, and I believe today every man has a right to be free. Not only in the natural, but in the spiritual. God has already signed your Emancipation Proclamation. Some of you refuse to walk out in victory. But I want you to know there's men who shed blood so that the black race could be free. Right or wrong, both fought for what they felt God was moving and God was calling them for. And in the country of Pennsylvania, we find that in 1863, on July the 2nd, in the southern part of Pennsylvania is a little town nestled in that country called Gettysburg. And there was a war that was beginning to take place. It was already taking place, but there was a battle that was beginning to be set in array. And the Union forces had a line. They'd aligned themselves up from the north part of town down to the south part of town on the high ridge. So they occupied the high ridge. The southern forces was over here, advancing this way. They woke up on the 2nd of July, and if I'm wrong, Brother Aaron, you just forgive me. I'm not a history teacher. I'm just trying to recite this through my study. But they realized the Union forces woke up the next morning, I think it was July 2nd, and they realized that a key portion of that ridge, a little bitty hill there, was unoccupied. There was two hills in Gettysburg. One was called Big Round Top. The other one was called Little Round Top. And they realized there was a key position. Little Round Top held a key position. Because if they can withstand and could defend that position, that means for everything west
of them all the fields. They could advance that way and they could conquer the enemy that way. But they had to withstand and defend that position. And they realized they didn't have an army there. So they begin to dispatch little bitty fighting forces, little men through flags. They would announce it through flags, if I'm not mistaken. And they begin to position. And we find there was a colonel by the name of Vincent. And he began to get there. And he had his men to climb up on little round top. And he began to position this one here. I think it was the 16th Michigan. And he positioned over here. I think it was the 44th New York. And then the 83rd Pennsylvania. And he began to do it from counterclockwise. So you got the Michigan, the New York, then you got here. And then at the very end of the line was the 20th Maine. The 20th Maine was a bunch of leftover men in the country of Maine or the state of Maine. And they just had to get a few other men together. But these men volunteered to fight in this little bitty, little insignificant little group of men that decided they had a cause and they had a purpose and they were willing to fight. And 120 men from another division came and joined them. And they should have been killed, if I'm not mistaken, because they were mutinous. They ran. And they were given to Joshua Chamberlain. And he says, you know what? I'm going to enlist you in my little group. And they hadn't been fighting in many big fights. But just on this special day. And it was called, young person, the stand that saved a nation. The 20th Maine consisted of 300, if I'm not mistaken, 86 men. 386 men had to defend a key position. They didn't have cannons. They didn't have machine guns. They had muskets. And then you had one attack. The Southern Army of Texas and Alabama was on the downhill slopes. And they begin to come up. And they would shoot and shoot and shoot. And it would be just bombardment after bombardment after bombardment. But after three times, they repulsed the Confederate Army. And they got to the point where they were completely out of ammunition. You know what that means? They had nothing left to fight with. And here Joshua Chamberlain, he's observing his young people. He's going through the line. He's looking at them. And he's looking at them. And he realized he's used all his muskets. He used all his cartridges. They ain't got another ammunition. What do I do as a general? What do I do as a leader of this army? And he begins to think about it. And he begins to observe it. And he cries out, men, fix your bayonets. Men, fix your bayonets. See, Joshua Chamberlain was given a command. You defend this position at all costs. If you retreat, you die. So there was no retreat, young person. He and his men had to stay there, whether they had ammunition in their guns or nothing at all. He lined his men up in a single file line. They fought stupid back then. They're in a single file line. I think he was making a right wheel? Making a right wheel. So what it would do, he'd have a portion of his line. They would swing like a swinging gate or a swinging door. So here we are lined up. So you got on this little hill here, a little round top, you got the 20th Maine, then you got the Michigan, and you got the Pennsylvania, or so on and so on. You got them like this. And yet they were the very furthest end. They were the extreme left part of the line, and there was nobody after them. If the Confederate soldiers flanked that left side, then the whole Union Army would be destroyed, and they would lose that battle. Do you see, young people? You are the last of the last of the last. There's not another age. There's not another people promised. You are the extreme of the extreme. You can't allow the devil to flank you today. You can't allow the devil to break your lives. You've got to defend your position at all costs. Chamberlain looked and observed his men. Boys, bayonets. And on the sound of my voice, charge. And here they come. One last final attempt. The Confederate Army, tired. But they were
determined they was going to take that position. They were determined they was going to occupy Little Round Top because they was determined to break the Union Army. Boys, fix your bayonets. And as they begin to approach, firing their musket balls, I won't think it's 30 to 40 yards, maybe 50 yards. Chamberlain rises up. Charge! And a great army, 386 men, begin to come crashing down. And they begin to flank and come down like a swinging gate. And they begin to just scare the Confederate army. And they begin to run. And many of them surrendered. And the Union army was able to hold the line that day because they refused to give in to the position. They had to defend that position at all costs. And let me tell you, young person, you are the end of the end of the end. There's not another people promise. There's not another age promise. There's not another messenger promise. You are the end of the end. And I'm telling you, like Joshua Chamberlain told his men, boys, fix your bayonets. Pull out your swords and charge. It's time we rise in faith and claim our God-given privileges and realize you can repulse the attack of the enemy because God has given you a position. I want you to remember you defend it at all costs. Satan says put makeup on, you defend it, lady, at all costs. He tells you to go play video games, look at pornography, young man, you defend your position at all costs. He tells you to look at dirty things. He tells you to dress in some slutty clothes. Young lady, you defend your position as a child of God. You defend. What position, Brother Joe? The position of being the bride of Jesus Christ. It's only for an elect. 386 men repulsed over 4,000 Confederate troops. Men that day. Because they refused to lose sight of their position. And I wonder today, young person, how many of you will refuse to lose sight of your position? Would you bow your heads just for a brief minute? Satan says, oh, you might as well give up and give in. Now defend your position today. God placed you not on a Little Round Top, but he placed you on the rock of revelation of his word. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with knowing who you are. You can today be anchored in that word and never struggle another moment. Do you hear what I'm telling you? You can fix your sight on your position. You can realize today that God is calling you for something greater. That God has elected you. God has called you. God is anointing you for battle. Oh, young person, won't you quit allowing the devil to beat you up? Quit allowing the devil to strike fear in your heart, telling you lies, telling you you're not going to make it. It's time that you recognize, I have been anointed. I have been elected. I have been positionally placed in the body. Now I ask you, young person, I'm going to make it personal. Are you ready to defend this glorious position? Are you ready tonight to defend this glorious word that we have? To live a virtuous life. You young ladies, quit dressing in clothes that are revealing your form and it's ungodliness. But are you ready tonight to defend modesty and purity and holiness and righteousness? And when you come and you walk out knowing that you are going to be looked upon by men and by women in this age, and you'll ask yourself, does what I wear, does it defend my stance in the word? Does my actions
Does what I look at? Does what I put my eyes on? Does that defend my position as a son and a daughter of God? I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight. I didn't know this sermon would go this way, but I'm giving you an opportunity. If you're ready to defend your position, why don't you get out of your seat and come forward? I'm ready to defend it at all cost. Said, I'm ready to defend it at all cost. I don't care what it costs me. It may cost me my pride. It may cost me my humility. It may cost me my prestige and my self-esteem. I don't care, Brother Joe. I'm going to defend this position at all cost. A real experience. Recognize that I've been called in this hour. Not to be Satan's billboard, but I have been called to be a daughter of God. I have been called to live in modesty. I have been called to live in purity. I have been called to be a real son of God, not looking at the things of the world, not putting my eyes on attention of man, but I put my eyes back on the word of God. I got a position to defend. I got a position to defend. I got a position. I got a position. I got a position. I got a position to defend tonight. God, you see these young people all across this platform tonight. Different ones, Lord. Lord, may they just come to the reality tonight, Lord. God, this is you that's doing the calling. This is not something that's made up by man, but this is what God has done. God is calling. God is pulling. God is drawing. God is electing. God is anointing. God is positioning. Hear me, young people. God is positioning you for battle. One day mama's not going to be at your side. One day daddy's not going to be at your side. You've got to learn to fight. And when you learn your position, Elijah, when you learn your position, son, ain't no devil in hell can talk you out of it. Joseph Conejo, nothing can talk you out of it. Nothing. Can talk you out of it. Satan telling you young girls, striking you with fear, Joshua, he's a liar. You got a position. Defend your position. You're a child of God, baptized with the Spirit. What about a young person? Don't fill up too quick. You're here in his presence. Right now, say, God, make me, fashion me. Lord, make me, mold me. Make me what you want me to be, God. You've done this. You called me out. God, place me in a position where I can be used, not for my own benefit, but I can be used for you, God. God, bless my brother Andrew today. Bless brother Wesley today and brother Luke, Lord. And all our sisters back here in the back, Father. Lord, I pray your blessings to be upon them, Lord. May the word anchor in their heart today. May moms and dads and grandparents out there in the congregation, may they recognize this is not the doing of a man, but this is the Spirit of Christ calling upon young men and young women, positionally placing them for the battle. Kara, you've been placed for the battle. Maddie, you've been placed for the battle. Esther? Oh, yeah, you've been placed in a position to battle. William? Justin? Isaiah? Jeremy? Do you believe it? Do you believe it, young men? And fix your bayonets. Fix your bayonets. We don't have time to reload. And there's no retreat tonight. Your retreat is death. You pull the sword of the Spirit tonight. Pull the sword of the Spirit tonight. Let's make one last charge. What about a young person? Will you pull that sword out tonight? As we heard this morning, it's the king's sword. The king's sword is back in the hands of a man. It's back in the hands of young people. The king's sword. What about it, Sister Lily? You tired of living in defeat?
Mariah, Nathaniel, God done something for you just a few weeks ago. Placed you, called you, elected you, anointed you. What about a Cassie? It's God's calling. Hannah, what God done for you at camp? God intends to perform it. Those he called, he justifies. And those he justifies, he glorifies. Places you in the presence of the Father. What about it, Jonathan? Are we ready to give everything to God? Say, God, use me. I'm volunteering tonight, Lord. Me being up here at this altar is my show of volunteering for the battle. Now place me where you want me. Position me, God, not where I think I need to be, but where you want me to be. Father, Lord, I apologize for going long in a youth meeting. But Lord, you know my heart. Lord, as I will begin to study and I think about the different ones in this youth group, Lord. And Father, I believe you know that the love that I have for each and every one that's here is deep. Lord, many come from different lives. Lord, some from broken homes. Lord, some from just mind battles and situations and struggles, Lord. But nevertheless, God, they're your young people, Father. And I believe it's you here tonight doing the placing, the adopting of sons, the placing of your children, putting your warriors in position to battle, Lord. Lord, you see, I had a young man on my heart all week. And no doubt, Lord, he wants to fight in this battle, but it seems like the spirit is willing, but the flesh is very weak. And Lord, I look at other young men who've gotten victory, Brother Caleb, over the lie of the enemy. I look at Brother Jared, and God's done something special for him just in the last several weeks. Brought him out of a life of sin, brought him off the street, brought him out of a life of drugs, and placed him in his rightful position. I said, hey, Father, you know in your people tonight, you know in your children. God, I ask tonight that you place them. And you place this word, Lord, with resolute determination in their heart. They refuse to give up. They refuse to give in. And they refuse to back down. But tonight, Lord, they recognize their position in the body of Christ. Pray, Lord, they will anchor tonight. They're not just a daughter of so-and-so in this family of so-and-so, but they're your sons and your daughters. They're part of the family of God. And I ask, Lord, tonight that you get victory over every life. You get victory in every heart, Lord. You get victory tonight over death, hell, and the grave, and over sin, and over the Lord, the hounds of hell tonight, you get victory, Father, in every heart that's represented tonight. Lord, as I give these young people to you, Lord, as a trophy of the power of the Word of God. Lord, I ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Young people, draw your sword. Draw your sword. We're going to battle. David, lead us in song.
How do you explain? How do you describe?
It's not going to be easy. This is not going to be a walk in the park.
Well, the love that goes from east to west.
It's a battle, young person.
And runs as deep as it is wide.
I said it's a battle.
Oh, you know.
The devil has got every gun in hell training on you tonight. And it's not paintball, and it's not airsoft. But he's got every demonic power aimed at you.
are going to take hits. Some of you are going to get shot. But I want you to realize you have the power within you to rise up tonight. You're a part of a great army. It's called the Army of the Living God. And God is here to fight for you tonight. And God can't lose a person. God's never lost one, and He doesn't intend to lose you tonight. Do you believe that you're a child of God? Do you believe tonight that you've been called for this hour, that you've been positioned in the power and authority to act and to rule as a son and daughter of God?
And we will use our words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. When words are not enough,
just talk to Him. He's calling. Just talk to Him tonight. Lord, listen to my heart. Draw me, Lord. God, give me a resolution in my soul tonight.
From these lips,
give me an absolute in my heart tonight. So when those thoughts come, when those mind battles come, God, I have an affirmation. I got an affirmation tonight that I know that I know that I know that I know that no devil in hell can keep me from reaching what you call me to be.
If you listen to my heart.
Oh, yes.
Conquer at the only time. took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said my son's come home again, lifted my face, wiped my tears from with forgiveness in his voice. He said, son, do you know I still love you? Oh, it caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart, and I wondered then if things could ever be. Then one night I remembered his love for me. Oh, and down that dusty road, ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. Was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said my son, come home again, lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes, with forgiveness in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? Oh, he caught me by surprise, and he brought me to in his voice, he said, son, do you know I still love you? He called me by surprise, God ran. Oh, the day I left home, I knew I'd broken his heart. I wondered then if things could ever be the same. Then one night I remembered his love for me. Down that dusty road, ahead I could see it was the only time. It was the only time I ever saw him run. Was when he ran to me. He took me in his arms, held my head to his chest, said my son, come home again, lift him.
You're all
I am. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy. You're altogether one to me. Hallelujah. 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 Every chain. chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every, to break every chain, oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's a bride, there's a bride, she's rising up. There's a bride, she's rising up. There's a bride, she's rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains, I hear those chains falling, hallelujah. I hear those chains falling, I hear those chains. Break every chain, oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, oh, to break every chain, yes, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. There is power. Broke every chain. Oh. Oh, you broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. You broke every chain. Oh, you broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. You broke every chain, you broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. You broke every chain. Oh, you broke every chain, broke every chain, broke every chain. You broke, oh, you broke every chain, broke every chain. Hallelujah, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain. Thank you for the nail. Thank you for the nail pierced. Wash me in your cleansing flow. All I know, your forgiveness and embrace. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame. Oh, in love you came and gave a man. Love, Lord. Thank you.
I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. There's a kind of thing that can break a man. Break him down to his knees. I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, I have. And you pick me up and show. And chains. I've been freed and forgiven. Here it is. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. Well, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone.
Service went, but I know it went wonderful because I know the Holy Spirit spoke here, spoke there, and we're just expecting a good report from the other side of the wall there. So just happy that we had this time in the Lord. And before we go, why don't we just sing one more song? And every praise is to our God.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one of hope. Every praise is to our God.
Every praise.
Yeah.
God, my Savior, God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship. Yes, He is. Yes, He is.